Jayavadamadhuva Kunjabihari Jayavadamadhuva Kunjabihari Gopijana Malabha Girivadadhari Gopijana Malabha Girivadadhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunyabihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunyabihari Gopijana Malabha Giribhara Haudhi Gopijana Malabha Giribhara Haudhi Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunjabihari Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Parvatakacharya, also Tera Siddhashi Shivad, His Divine Grace Avaya Chalanad Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kujai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kujai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kujai. Namacharya Srila Vilas Thakur Kujai. Prem se gaho shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shidvaita gadadha shri basadi gaur bhakta vrinda kijaya shri shri radha krishna gopi gopinath shai mukunda radhakunda giri gauradhan kijaya vrindavanam kijaya maturadam kijaya jagadatha sami kijaya yumanumai kijaya Shrimati Lasi Devi Gijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gijai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Go. All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru in Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Gijai, Gaur Premananda. So, Om Meghanati Mananda Shah, Gananjana Shilakaya. Chakshur un meditam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So we offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of our spiritual masters, Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're continuing with the Bhagavad Gita. And we're on chapter 5, the beginning of chapter 5 of Bhagavad Gita. And before class, I'd just like to ask everyone to pray for the quick recovery of Bhakti Chur Maharaj, who is in the hospital right now recovering from the coronavirus. And last I heard, he's still on the respirator. So, but he's improving gradually, so please pray for him. So now we will continue with the Bhagavad Gita. Fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we're just starting it. So, text one. 1 second. Clear the screen. Okay. And the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. So text one is as follows. Arjuna uvacha sannyasam karmanam krishna punar yogam chasangshasi yastraya iti orikam tanme bruhi su nishchitam. So Arjuna uvacha, Arjuna said, sannyasam, renunciation, karmanam, of all activities, Krishna, O Krishna, punaha, again, yogam, devotional service, cha, also, shongsasi, you are praising, yat, which, shreyaha, is more beneficial, eta, yoho, of these two, ekam, one, tat, that, may, unto me, bruhi, please tell, su, nischitam, definitely. Arjuna said, Krishna, first of all, you asked me to renounce work. And then again, you recommend work with devotion. Now will you kindly tell me definitely which of the two is more beneficial? So Arjuna is actually very confused with Krishna's directions here. First of all, Krishna never told him to renounce work. He told him to renounce fruitive work. Fruitive work means work for some personal gain. And he also told him to renounce vikarmic activities. That means activities which give you a negative result. But he never said, renounce all work. I mean, he was very clear in the last chapter, chapter 4, that you should do work for Krishna. So, now Arjuna is asking, renouncing work and your recommended work with devotion. So, which is better? So, purport, by Srila Prabhupada, in this fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that work and devotional service is better than dry mental speculation. Devotional service is easier than the latter because being transcendental in nature, it frees one from reaction. In the second chapter, preliminary knowledge of the soul and its entanglement in the material body was explained. How to get out of this material engagement by buddhi yoga or devotional service was also explained therein. In the third chapter, it was explained that a person who is situated on the platform of knowledge no longer has any duties to perform. And in the fourth chapter, the Lord told Arjuna that all kinds of sacrificial work culminate in knowledge. However, at the end of the fourth chapter, the Lord advised Arjuna to wake up and fight, being situated in perfect knowledge. Therefore, by simultaneously stressing the importance of both work and devotion and inaction in knowledge, remember, inaction in knowledge means acting in such a way that you don't get any reaction. That's the point of inaction in knowledge, not actually inaction in terms of absolutely doing absolutely nothing. So, in other words, Krishna has perplexed Arjuna and confused his determination. Arjuna understood that renunciation and knowledge involves cessation of all kinds of work performed as sense activities. But if one performs work in devotional service, then how is work stopped? In other words, he thinks that sannyasa, or renunciation and knowledge, should be altogether free from all kinds of activity, because work and renunciation appear to him to be incompatible. And of course, Krishna previously explained it's impossible to be free from all types of activity. But you can be free from all types of fruitive activity. He appears not to have understood that work in full knowledge is non-reactive. In other words, there's no karmic reaction to work done for Krishna. And is therefore the same as inaction. And I think the confusion in Arjuna's case arises from the use of the word karma, as we've explained before. Because there's karma, akarma, vikarma. So sometimes the word karma can just mean work. Like you can say, Krishna karma, do your Krishna karma. That means work for Krishna. Sometimes the word karma can mean that's your reaction, that's your karma, buddy. Sometimes the word karma can mean pious activities meant for giving you a good reaction. So this word can be used in a variety of ways according to the context, and sometimes that's really confusing. Like Krishna consciousness is called akarma, A in front of the word karma, and that means without karma. So you can misinterpret that as being without work and just be lazy. Oh, Krishna consciousness is no work. Great, fantastic. But it doesn't mean that. When you say Krishna consciousness is akarma, that means Krishna consciousness has no karmic reaction to it. It's inaction, as Prabhupada uses the word inaction here. In other words, there's no good and no bad karmic reaction to it, but there is a spiritual reaction, which we heard previously is spiritual advancement, spiritual knowledge, renunciation, and that reaction, or that result, don't even use the word reaction, the result of Krishna karma, which is akarma, and it sounds kind of confusing. Krishna karma is akarma. In other words, you're saying Krishna karma is without karma. But there the word karma is used in two different ways in the same sentence. So the result of Krishna karma, which is akarma, is that one becomes spiritually advanced by serving Krishna. It's as simple as that. So, and that spiritual advancement, that knowledge that one acquires, that renunciation that one acquires, is never lost. Krishna himself says that, Swapamapyasya Dharmasya, Trayate Mahatobaya. There's no loss or diminution in that. Whereas the karmic activities in this world that give you a reaction, so here we're using the karma as activities that give a reaction, which is also called karma, those activities, the result of those activities is temporary, whether it's good or bad, it's temporary. Or in other words, even if you do something really bad and you get a lot of bad karma, which is called vikarma, then you may go to hell. You may say, well, I don't believe that hell exists. Well, take a tour around the world and you'll see that hell definitely exists in many places, even in this world. So, anyway, let's say you go to hell. It's not like the Christian theology or the misunderstanding of the Christian theology, which is when you go to hell, you stay there forever, eternal damnation. That's interesting. Damnation. Just like the United States is a nation, so anyway. Damnation. So, eternal damnation. We don't believe anything connected to material karma is eternal. When you go to heaven, after a while, Shinai Punya Marcha Lokam Vishanti, you come back down again when your good karma runs out. When you go to hell, then you go back up again when your bad karma runs out. But your Krishna karma, I know it sounds very confusing, we're using the word karma in so many different ways here, but your Krishna karma never runs out. It goes in your eternal bank account. Material money runs out, you spend it, it's gone. You acquire it, it's there for some time until you spend it. So Arjuna is confused about this whole thing, as I believe some of you should be confused about the use of the word karma. It is actually quite interesting how the word karma is meaning something different in different contexts or even within the same sentence. So, text 2. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Sanyasa Karma Yogascha Nishrayasya Kara Lubao. Tayostu Karma Sanyasa Karma Yoga Vishishute Sri Bhagavan Vacha. The personality of God had said, sannyasaha, renunciation of work, karma yoga, work and devotion, cha also, nishreyasya, karal, leading to the path of liberation, ubao both, by all of the two, but karma, sannyasat, in comparison to the renunciation, fruit of work, karma yoga, work and devotion, vishishute, is better. Translation, the personality of Godhead replied, the renunciation of work and work and devotion are both good for liberation. But of the two, work in devotional service is better than renunciation of work. And in fact, if you don't do devotional service, you can't renounce work absolutely. You can renounce bad karma, yes. There's a certain type of work, certain type of karma you can renounce, but you can't renounce all type of work because if you're not serving Krishna, you are still breathing. Of course, if you're a yogi, you're breathing very little, so you can live a long life like a tree. But still, you're working. I mean, anything you do, you're just preparing your dinner. You are working. Working doesn't mean holding a job. It means any sort of action in this world. And so, if you renounce bad karma, that's great. And that's helpful for liberation. Why is that helpful for liberation? Because it puts you in the mode of goodness. Which, you have to be careful, because the other modes of nature can sometimes overtake your mode of goodness. As we described before, the modes are in constant struggle for supremacy. The mode of passion and ignorance are in constant struggle to take over your consciousness. But still, being in the mode of goodness is actually very good insofar as giving you a standpoint from which you can take off in devotional service. Like being at the airport is very good if you want to get in an airplane. But you could be at the airport and never fly. You can just go shopping. And that's not very good. So simply renunciation of the karmic work is, let us say, a little bit helpful, but it's not comparable to work in devotion. And that's why Krishna says, better of the two, work in devotion is better than renunciation of work. And Prabhupada explains, the fruit of activities, seeking sense grad, are the cause for material bondage. As long as one is engaged in activities aimed at improving the standard of bodily comfort, one is sure to transmigrate to different types of bodies, thereby continuing material bondage perpetually. Now, so you don't feel guilty about this whole thing. If you're in an uncomfortable situation and you accept what's necessary just to stabilize your situation so you're comfortable, that's not what Prabhupada is referring to here. He's referring to accepting too much. Let's say, if I'm comfortable sleeping on a bed, but I'm thinking, I want to increase my comfort by getting one of these really fancy mattresses that have sleep numbers on them that cost several thousand dollars. You just like plug in your number. Oh, I would like a 22 sleep number tonight. Then that's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, the Bhagavatam says that Krishna is providing for us. And of course, the sages in the old days were advised not even to go for beds. They said, what is the use of a pillow if you have your arms? What is the use of a bed if you have an earthly flat to lie on? What is the use of a house, when the caves and the mountains are still there? Of course, that was a different time. And we understand that we have more needs than just our arms as pillows or an earthly flat to lie on. Of course, that was the training I had when I was a young brahmachari in Krishna consciousness. Of course, I don't think I ever lived in a cave in a mountain. But I did live in the front seat of a Volkswagen Bug for months. As myself and another devotee were traveling all over the United States, and we did take cold showers from a bucket every morning, even when it was below zero at night. And we live pretty simply. So I'm not saying that that's a standard for everybody. That's not the point. Whatever you need, accept. You know what you need. I may need more. I may need less than you. But everybody has their needs. And so accept that. That's not increasing your material comfort. That's just taking care of your basic needs. Nothing, no problem with that. Absolutely no problem. So don't feel guilty. And don't get upset. So Srimad Bhagavatam in the fifth canto, fifth chapter, text 4-6. And this is, confirms this as follows, as Lord Vrishabhadev speaking, an incarnation of Krishna. Nunam pramata kutate vikarma yalindriya pritya pranavti nisaramanya yatahatmano yam sanapi kleshada shadeha parabhavastava nabo de jato yavanna yasat atmatatvam yavat kriyastava vidamano vai karmatmakam yena sharira bandha evam manakama vishampayunte avidyayatman upadiyamane vityaryavan mai vasudeve namuchite deha yogaina tavat. People are mad after sense gratification. They do not know that the present body, which is full of miseries, is a result of one's fruitive activities in the past. Although this body is temporary, it is always giving one trouble in many ways. Therefore, to act for sense gratification is not good. One is considered to be a failure in life as long as he makes no inquiry about his real identity. As long as he does not know his real identity, he has to work for fruitive results for sense gratification. And as long as one is engrossed in the consciousness of sense gratification, one has to transmigrate from one body to another. Although the mind may be engrossed in fruitive activities and influenced by ignorance, one must develop a love for devotional service to Vasudeva. Only then can one have the opportunity to get out of the bondage of material existence. Let me just unpack this verse a little bit. Nunam pramata kurute vikana. So basically, Lord Vrishabhadeva is saying is that if one thinks that I'm paraphrasing, of course, the same verse. If one thinks that the satisfaction of the senses is extremely important, indriya pritya means dear to one, then one becomes crazy. Not crazy in a clinical psychiatric sense, but clinical in a spiritual sense, clinically crazy in a spiritual sense, which means one thinks that he is something other than what he is. Like if I think that I am, let's say, white or black or anything because of the skin, that's called skin disease, of course. Skin disease, like eczema. Then that's crazy. The Prabhupada would often say, who is crazy? And when one is crazy, you know, in other words, considers the senses or satisfaction of the senses to be very dear to him, then kurute vikarma. Remember we talked about this word vikarma before. So vikarma means activities which give you a bad result in this world, or to put it in Western parlance, sinful activities. So this is what happens if you consider the satisfaction of your senses to be extremely important, very dear to you. What's most dear to me? Satisfying the tongue. And then one commits sinful activities. And we will turn our phone off so we will not get disturbed. So anyway, I could translate the whole thing, but in this way one gets kleshada, one gets disturbances or unhappiness. And there, then, continuing with Prabhupada's purport, therefore, jnana, or knowledge that one is not this material body, but spirit soul, is not sufficient for liberation. In other words, just knowing, I'm not the body, doesn't get you to the point of realizing you are not the body. Because you can't do a don't. In other words, you can't do a negative. A negative is impossible to do. You have to do something positive. So to realize you're not the body, you have to realize what you are. And here Prabhupada explains that. One has to act in the status of spirit soul. In other words, realize that you are a spirit soul. Otherwise, there's no escape from material bondage. Action in Krishna consciousness is not, however, action on the fruit of platform. Activities performed in full knowledge strengthen one's advancement in real knowledge. Wow. That sentence deserves unpacking. In other words, if one has theoretical knowledge and one wants realization of that knowledge, in other words, theoretically, I know I'm not the body. Yet, for all intents and purposes, I have not realized it. So that's what the difference between realization and just knowledge. Okay. And the two words in Sanskrit are jnana and vijnana. Vijnana means realized knowledge, or scientific knowledge. Sometimes Prabhupada defined that as scientific knowledge. So in other words, if you act on theoretical knowledge, having faith in theoretical knowledge, then you get realization. Like if I understand I am Krishna's servant, and I have not realized it yet, but at least I accept it theoretically, and theoretically I act on it, then I will realize it. Or as Prabhupada said one time, sometimes you put on a uniform and then you actually come up to the status of being someone who deserves that uniform. Like, for example, you put on the uniform being Krishna conscious, and then all of a sudden, better be Krishna conscious. So in other words, action in knowledge gives realization. That's really what Prabhupada is saying. So what does that mean? That means if we know the right thing to do, even if we don't feel like it at a particular moment, even if we are experiencing some mental hang-ups, and we do it, then we just push through it, and we get special mercy, because we're actually showing our faith in Krishna. Without Krishna consciousness, mere renunciation of fruitive activities does not actually purify the heart of the conditioned soul. In other words, if you give up all fruitive activities, you're not going to become purified. As long as the heart is not purified, one has to work on the fruitive platform. In other words, you can't get away from it. But action in Krishna consciousness automatically helps one escape the result of fruitive action, so that one need not descend to the material platform. Therefore, action in Krishna consciousness is always superior to renunciation, which always entails a risk of falling. Renunciation without Krishna consciousness is incomplete, as is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Arathamrita Sindhu 1.2.258. Prapanchikatteya buddhya harisamandi vashtunaha mamukshavi pratityago vairagyam palgugatyate. When persons eager to achieve liberation renounce things related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking them to be material, their renunciation is called incomplete. And sometimes that's translated as false. Renunciation is complete when it is in the knowledge that everything in existence belongs to the Lord and no one should claim proprietorship over anything. And I've given that example before, that if you say, I renounce something, it never belonged to you to renounce anyway. Like, I can say, well, I renounce the sun. That doesn't even make sense. And if I thought that previously I owned the sun, then I would be worthy of going into a mental institution. So that's it. If someone thinks they can own something, in other words, we've gotten things on loan from God. Of course, there was actually a famous right-wing radio personality who always said, with intelligence on loan from God. So we agree with that. We don't agree with anything else he said. But, everything we have is on loan from God. Intelligence, strength, remembrance, whatever. material, gross things, all on loan from God. One should understand that. Factually, nothing belongs to anyone. That's a shock. What do you do about it? Love, you know. I'm yours, and you're mine. Well, say what you can do about it. You go to Krishna. And say, Krishna, I'm yours, and you're mine. And that is true. Actually, if you want to own something, by your pure devotion, you can own Krishna. Not own Krishna in, let's say, what we call the ontological sense, but own Krishna in terms of being able to control Krishna by your love. That's the highest quality of pure devotional service, that it's the only means for being able to attract or control the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna is controlled. And you see that in Krishna's relationship with his pure devotees, such as Srimati Radharani, that Krishna sometimes even bows down to Radharani's feet and begs forgiveness for anything he might have done, and which he did do, not just might have done, which he did do because he wants to show, he actually wants to show the power of his pure devotee. And you see in the case of Maharaj Ambarish, when Ambarish Maharaj was attacked by Durvasa Muni, or the demon that Durvasa Muni created, then Krishna just had to provide his Sudarshan Chakra to protect Maharaj Ambarish. So you can actually own Krishna with your devotion. You actually control Krishna. Factually, nothing belongs to anyone. Then where's the question of renunciation? How can I give up anything? You know, that's a misunderstanding of renunciation. You think, like, someone who's renounced should be wandering in the woods, not a single possession, certainly no computers, and basically shouldn't comb his hair, shouldn't accept anything other than, well, maybe he should be naked. Because if he accepts clothes, I mean, that's something. And actually, you can't even be renounced, even in a material sense, because you have the body. You can't just give up your body without dying. And then you take another body. There's no way you can give up everything. It's impossible. So whatever you have, this body, home, your family, that is real renunciation. Like Prabhupada said, one who knows that everything is Krishna's property is always situated in renunciation. So someone may have a family, 100 children, may have a big mansion, but if he recognizes it belongs to Krishna, not only recognizes, but he engages it in Krishna's service in different ways. You know, obviously, if you have a 100-room mansion, you can start a temple in your mansion. Of course, unless you've got 100 children, then each of them has to have their own room, and you're going to work like anything to pay their university bills. So, but then that's renunciation. Everything is yours, Krishna. Nothing is mine. Since everything belongs to Krishna, everything should be employed in the service of Krishna. This is the perfect form of action in Krishna consciousness and is far better than any amount of artificial renunciation by a sannyasi of the Mayavadi school. Mayavadi school means that everything is illusion. So the Maya sannyasi of the Mayavadi school, thinking everything is illusion, he tries to divest himself of everything and just wastes his human form of life. That's very unfortunate. All right. Going on to the next verse. Yaya sanitya sanyasi yona dvaishti nakankshati nirdvandvo nihi mahabaho sukam bandhat pramuchyate. Yaya should be known, sahaki nitya always, sanyasi, renouncer. Yaha, who? Na, never, dvaishti abhors. Sometimes means hates. Na, nor, kankshati, desires, nirdvandvaha, free from all dualities, he certainly mahabaho, almighty armed one, sukham, happily, bandhat, from bondage, pramuchyate, is completely liberated. One who neither hates nor desires the fruits of his activities is known to be always renounced, because he understands the fruits of your activities, of his activities, and now we're not talking about karmic fruits, but just whatever occurs, whatever he gets because of his activities, belongs to Krishna. That's real renunciation because of the use of Krishna. Such a person free from all dualities. What's a duality? Heat and cold, I am mine, you, yours, mine, happiness, distress, and of course summer, winter seasons, you know, all is the world of dualities, a dualistic world. Easily overcomes material bonds and is completely liberated, Almighty Arjuna. And to attain that state, you have to be absorbed in your spiritual identity. Until you're completely absorbed in your spiritual identity, there's always going to be some attachment to things of this world, because you'll be identifying with this world. So the whole point is to identify with your spiritual identity, which in the beginning means I'm a servant of Krishna, but then manifests in a very specific way in terms of what we call the different rasas with Krishna. But that's an advanced stage. But at least in the beginning, I'm a servant of Krishna, I belong to Krishna, you belong to Krishna, we all belong to Krishna, everything belongs to Krishna, and Krishna's given us or lent us things. And that's what Prabhupada would call the Isha Vasha consciousness, and coming from the Isha Upanishad. Isha Vasha Midam Savam Yad Kincha Jagam Jagat Tena Chaktena Bunjaha Madhgudha Kashyapa Svidhanam. Everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everybody has a quota. He was given something, but it's Krishna gives and he takes away. He gives and takes away. It's life. Life in the material world. One who is fully in Krishna consciousness. Of course, if one is not Krishna conscious, then you get things because of good karma and you lose things because of bad karma. You know, like someone may run for temple, not temple, someone may run for president of the United States. And because of his good karma, somehow or other, even though he has other qualities that are not so desirable, he becomes president. But then when the good karma runs out, everything goes bad. I mean, look what happened to Richard Nixon. You know, he had some good karma, that's why he became posted as president, and then kaboom. Then no one would even buy a used car from the guy. That's pretty interesting. So it's like that. Good karma runs out, watch out, boy. You're in trouble. So, purport. One is fully in Krishna consciousness, always a renouncer because he feels neither hatred nor desire for the results of action. Such a renouncer, dedicated to the transcendental loving service of the Lord, is fully qualified in knowledge because he knows his constitutional position, there's the operative phrase, in his relationship with Krishna. So that means he knows who he is, what his constitution is. Beginning with Jivara Svarupahoi Nitya Krishnas, I'm a servant of Krishna, but really much more than that. He knows he's a coward boy. He knows he's a she is a gopi. He knows that he's a servant of Krishna. He knows that he's a parent or assisting the parents of Krishna. He or she knows that. And so that's who you are. Just like if you're in a play sometimes, like William Shakespeare said, life's a poor player that struts and walks upon the stage and then is heard no more. Struts and frets, sorry. I got the quote wrong. Struts and frets upon the stage and then is heard no more. So, you know, we go into this world, and obviously I have to be aware of what role I'm playing right now. I'm playing the role of a sannyasi. Of course, serving to Krishna is not simply a role, that's eternal. But I'm serving Krishna doing different things according to what Krishna wants. So playing the role of a sannyasi. So I'm playing this role, playing the role of an American. This is my script in this lifetime. I'm given a script, I'm given a costume. Just like if you're trying out for a play, you go to the tryouts and they give you a script and read some lines, okay. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is nobler. Oh, you got the part. Okay. So I got the part right now. And so As Bhakti said, as Prabhupada said, or Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the whole show is only temporary. So because at the same time, we know what our constitutional relationship is with Krishna. We know who we really are, but, you know, we're just fitting into this play right now. It's not a play serving Krishna, but we're fitting into our part, but we understand our real eternal identity is as blank, 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 blank. And you will find that out sooner or later. He knows fully well that Krishna is the whole and that he is part and parcel of Krishna. Such knowledge is perfect because it is qualitatively and quantitatively correct. The quantity, like Krishna is the greatest, and the quality of Krishna and the quality of myself. Anyway, he knows quality and quantity. The concept of oneness with Krishna is incorrect because the part cannot be equal to the whole. The hand cannot be equal to the whole body. Knowledge that one is in quality yet different in quantity is correct transcendental knowledge. In other words, we're small, we have similar qualities that Krishna has. It's like we like to be tricky, Krishna likes to be tricky, Krishna likes to tell jokes, I like to tell jokes. Of course, Krishna does a lot of things that I don't do, thank God, as a sannyasi. So it's not that we manifest everything that Krishna manifests, but we have qualities because Krishna himself has all the qualities that we have. How about that? And anyway, so one in quality yet different in quantity is correct transcendental knowledge, leading one to become full in himself, having nothing to aspire or lament over. There's no duality in his mind because whatever he does for Krishna. In other words, why should I do this? Or should I do this? Or shouldn't I do this? It's all up to Krishna and Krishna's devotee. Being thus freed from the platform of dualities, he is liberated even in this material world. That's called Jivan Mukta, is the technical word for liberated even in this world. Next verse. Sankhya yoga prithag bala pravadanti napanditaha ekam apyastita samyag ubayar vindate palam. Sankhya, analytical study of the material world. Yoga, work in devotional service, prithag, different. Bala, the less intelligent. Pravadanti say, nah, never. Panditaha, the learned. Ekam, in one. Api, even. Astataha, being situated, samyat, complete, ubayoho, of both, vindate, enjoys, palam, the result. Only the ignorant speak of devotional service, karma yoga, as being different from the analytical study of the material world, sankhya. Those who are actually learned say that he who applies himself well to one of these paths achieves the results of both. So sankhya really is a very complicated process. It means analyzing the material elements. There's eightfold material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And also analyzing the perceptive senses, the active senses. It gets a little complicated there. And then ultimately coming to understand the soul and the super soul. So, and then ultimately coming to the point of understanding one's a servant of Krishna. So in one sense, both paths are the same, Sankhya and devotional service. So the goal of Sankhya, the end of Sankhya, the realization of Sankhya is to serve Krishna. So in one sense, they're the same, but Sankhya is a longer process that comes in the end to devotional service. And so if one takes up devotional service immediately, there's no need to analytically study the material world, to analyze not this, not that. In other words, I am not earth, water, fire, or ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. I am not my sense of smell. I'm not my sense of hearing. I'm not my sense of sight. I'm not the objects of those things. I'm not the active senses. Active senses means like the arms, the tongue, etc., like that, the belly, the genitals, and the rectum, these are active senses. So I'm not any of those things. So what am I? Or as Prabhupada said one time when he was speaking to really young people, children, Prabhupada said, point to yourself as a type of sankhya. Enumerate, in other words, point to who, where you are. Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? Where are you? And the children understood that the belly is not me, the tongue is not me. I can't really point to myself because myself or my soul is transcendental. So it's a type of very, very primitive sankhya. So, but that's very hard to do if you're not a kid. Because the real sankhya is actually far more complicated. So it's better just to take up devotional service, and you realize it anyway. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Pariyojitaj Nayati Asubhayaramyam Ganam Chaya Ahoitakam. If one serves Krishna, then automatically you get renunciation and knowledge. So Prabhupada explains, the aim of the analytical study of the material world is to find the soul of existence. The soul of the material world is Vishnu, the Supersoul. Devotional service to the Lord entails service of the Supersoul. One process is to find the root of the tree, and the other is to water the root. In other words, you find the root of the tree, and what do you do afterwards? You water it. But if you can water it without having to go on a whole search for it, you save a heck of a lot of time. The real student of Sankhya philosophy finds the root of the material world, Vishnu, and then in perfect knowledge engages himself in service of the Lord. Therefore, in essence, there's no difference between the two because the aim of both is Vishnu. Those who do not know the ultimate end say that the purposes of Sankhya and Karma Yoga are not the same. So in other words, the end is the same, the process is different. Ultimately, Sankhya ends with Karma Yoga, but it takes time. But one who is learned knows the unifying aim in these different processes. Okay, we'll do one more verse, text 5. Yat sankhyae prapyate stanam tad yoga rapigamyate ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha yapashyati sapashyati yat what sankhyae by means of sankhya philosophy prapyate is achieved stanam place tat that yogai by devotional service appear also gamyate one can attain ekam one sankhyam analytical study cha and yogam action and devotion cha and ya one who Pashati sees, Pashati actually sees. One who knows that the position reached by means of analytical study can also be attained by devotional service, and who therefore sees analytical study and devotional service to be on the same level, sees things as they are. Exactly what I explained before. Pretty much the same thing. The real purpose, Prabhupada said, of philosophical research is to find the ultimate goal of life. Since the ultimate goal of life is self-realization, there's no difference between the conclusions reached by the two processes. They're not the same process, but their conclusion is the same. By Sankhya philosophical research, one comes to the conclusion that a living entity is not part and parcel of the material world, but of the supreme spirit whole. Consequently, the spirit soul has nothing to do with the material world. His actions must be in some relation with the Supreme. When he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is actually in his constitutional position. In the first process, Sankhya, one has to become detached from matter. In the devotional process, one has to attach himself to the work of Krishna consciousness. And it's a hell of a lot easier. Both processes are the same, although superficially one process appears to involve detachment, the other process appears to evolve attachment. Detachment from matter and attachment to Krishna are one and the same. One who can see this sees things as they are, because ultimately in order to become detached from matter, you've got to be attached to something. And the only thing that's not material is Krishna's service. Because you either have Krishna or Maya. Ain't nothing else. You're either Krishna conscious or you're in Maya, Prabhu. Ain't nothing else. Of course, you can be vacillating. Vacillating means, you know, sometimes in Maya, sometimes in Krishna conscious. You know, 2 seconds ago I was in Maya, now I'm a little Krishna conscious. Okay, one more verse. Sanyasyas tu mahabaho dukham aptum yogataha yoga yukto muni brahma nachire nadigashate. Sanyasa, the renounced order of life, tu bat mahabaho omayam vam dukham. Distress, aptum, inflicts one with a yogataha without devotional service, yoga yukta, one engaged in devotional service, munihi, a thinker, brahma, the supreme, nacharena, without delay, adigachati, attains. Merely renouncing all activities, yet not engaged in devotional service of the Lord, cannot make one happy, because not one's constitutional position. But a thoughtful person engaged in devotional service can achieve the supreme without delay, immediately. And that means happy, because the Supreme means Satchitananda, eternity, bliss, and knowledge. There are two classes of sannyasis, or persons in the renounced order of life, the Mayavadi sannyasis. That means people who basically think Krishna's personality and form are illusion, are engaged in the study of Sankhya philosophy, whereas the Vaishnava sannyasis are engaged in the study of the Bhagavatam philosophy, which affords the proper commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. Actually, both the Mayavadis and the devotees study the Vedanta Sutras, but the Mayavadis study the commentary of Shankaracharya. Actually, Prabhupada's going to mention that in his purport. The Mayavadi sannyasis also study the Vedanta Sutras, but use their own commentary called Sariraka Bhashya, written by Shankaracharya. The students of the Bhagavad school, that's us, are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord according to the Pancharatriki regulations. Pancharatriki regulations basically means rising early, a certain cleanliness, etc., you know, external regulations and some deity worship and like that. And therefore, the Vaishnava sannyasis have multiple engagements in the transcendental service of the Lord. The Vaishnava sannyasis have nothing to do with material activities, and yet they perform various activities in devotional service of the Lord. But the Mayavadi sannyasis engaged in the studies of Sankhya and Vedanta and speculation cannot relish the transcendental service of the Lord. Because their studies become very tedious, they sometimes become tired of Brahman speculation. And thus, they take shelter of the Bhagavatam without proper understanding. Consequently, their study of the Srimad Bhagavatam becomes troublesome. Dry speculations and impersonal interpretations by artificial means are all useless for the Mayavadi sannyasis. The Vaishnav sannyasis, who are engaged in devotional service, are happy in the discharge of their transcendental duties, and they have the guarantee of ultimate entrance into the kingdom of God. The Mayavadi sannyasis sometimes fall down from the path of self-realization and again enter into material activities of a philanthropic and altruistic nature, which are nothing but material engagements. Therefore, the conclusion is that those who are engaged in Krishna conscious activities are better situated than the sannyasis engaged in simple speculation about what is Brahman and what is not Brahman. And they're just like, just speculating. In other words, just like twisting their minds. Oh, this is Brahman, this is not Brahman, etc. And what is the use? Because you don't get realization unless you please Krishna. And the only way to please Krishna is devotional service. Although, Prabhupada said, he's very merciful, they too come to Krishna consciousness after many births. And in the 12th chapter of the Gita, Krishna makes that very clear. You know, after a long time and much difficulty, they again come to Krishna consciousness, or they come to Krishna consciousness. So, we will open it up for questions right now and go back to seeing you all. And we will unmute everybody. Give me 1 second. Allow the participants to unmute themselves. So, who has a question? Does anybody have a question?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. Rishikesh.
Hare Bala, it sounds like Rishikesh.
Yes, Gurudev. Yeah.
Proprietor of the sound.
Yes, Gurudev. I just have a quick question on the... Can someone surrender to Krishna immediately based on the theoretical knowledge that he's the Supreme Master and I'm the servant? Just like what
Mahārāja... If one has complete faith, yes.
Okay.
It can happen immediately, or it can happen immediately after 10 million years.
Okay.
But you have to have faith. It's all based on faith. Like, if I have faith that by doing something, I'll get it. You know, let's say if I could tell the future, and I had faith that picking a particular lottery ticket or something like that, of course I shouldn't do that, that I'm going to win. Like if I, or let's forget about lottery. Let's say I was going to the horse races, and I had faith that a certain horse is going to win in the fifth race. If I actually believed it and I could see the future, then I would bet on it, and I would win whatever, the horse race, which I've never done. And I don't intend to do, because that's against the regulative principles. So if really, you really have faith in Krishna's words, you just do it. You know, someone tells you by doing something, you'll get $1 million tomorrow, and you believe in it, wouldn't you do it, Hrishikesh? No. If someone tells you that, and you had faith in them, by doing something, you would get $1 million. I think you would do it as long as it wasn't against the regular
principle. Yeah, if it comes from you, definitely, yes.
Really? Okay. Yes. Let's go to the races. Anyways. Anyway, I mean, if someone says something, let's say if God says something, you know, let's take God, for example, not me. I still am not a multimillionaire. So let's say if God says something, he comes down, and he says, invest in Tesla, and it's going to split 2-for-1 tomorrow. Would you invest in the Tesla stock?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes. Bet. And so a devotee, this is actually a good metaphor. A devotee is expert in insider trading. Now, for those of you who don't know what insider trading is, that means if you invest in the stock market and you have some like inside information that tomorrow this drug company, Moderna, for example, is going to come out with a proven coronavirus vaccine because you're connected with the president of the country, of the company. That's called insider trading. You've been given some information. So we have insider information that if you invest your heart in chanting Hare Krishna, you're going to see Krishna go back to life. But we don't trust that inside information. We doubt it. That's why Krishna says in the Gita, for the doubting soul, there's happiness neither in this lifetime nor in the next. Ashradana puracha dharma shasha parantapa prapyamam nivartante jisam sarvartme. So if I or any of us had actual faith that Krishna is there in his holy names, I mean, we wouldn't be able to stop ourselves from chanting Hare Krishna. And one of the reasons we stop chanting is because we don't really completely. Isn't it? You win the lottery, the transcendental lottery. Okay, interesting metaphor. I am convinced. I just chant. I better end this so I can chant. Anyways, so who else has a question?
Thank you, Vidya.
Do I see anyone else who's interested? No, everyone's shy tonight. And Nalini Kant's not there.
Hare Krishna, Guru Dev.
Who is that?
Namaruchi.
Where? I'm looking for you. Oh, Namaruchi, you got to speak louder.
Okay. So in terms of controlling the mind, and it's said that we need to control our mind in order to have a steady practice in our devotional service.
Yeah.
And it says if you eat boga, your mind becomes disturbed. And if you eat prasadam, your mind's purified. And I don't quite understand, because prasadam makes you more energetic, and it makes you more,
yeah,
can't control your mind properly, in my opinion.
Well, let's let me okay. Let me just qualify that. If you eat too much prasadam, your mind will be disturbed. And if you eat too little prasadam, your mind will be disturbed. But it's not just eating prasadam. It's honoring prasadam, first of all. And secondly, it's controlling your association throughout the rest of the day. Like if I associate with something in the mode or someone in the mode of passion, even though I've eaten tons of prasadam, I'm going to be put in the mode of passion. Or even I consider myself in a passionate way the owner or controller of something, and I get angry, then I'm in the mode of passion and ignorance. So it's not just eating prasadam. I mean, eating prasadam purifies the mind, but you got to do a lot more than that. I wish it was that easy. I would just eat all day long my favorite food, quinoa. I just eat quinoa all day long. Quinoa and carrots all day long. That's my sense gratification. So, but if you eat too much, the mind will be disturbed. So you got to be careful. Prabhupada said many stalwarts have fallen down in the name of Maha Prasadam. So be careful. Don't eat too much. So, one more question? Who else wants to ask a question? Question.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
How to renounce bad karma? I have a...
How to renounce that? Mommy. Okay, that's an interesting question. So the way you renounce bad karma is by doing service for Krishna. You can't renounce anything without taking up something better. You have to have a higher taste. If you simply thinking of giving something up,
actually,
it doesn't work.
Sit down, no
screen. You have to think of the positive.
I need to open.
Anyway, you have to think of the positive, do the positive, and then your bad karmic reaction goes away as long as you are.
Thank you, Gurudev.
Okay. Okay, I think we're going to end now. Oh, it's good seeing Gokul Bandhu. I haven't seen him for a while. He's in the country of Fiji. Nice to see him. Wow. We miss Fiji. One day, Krishna, if I'm pious enough, will let me go back. Let me go back to New Zealand. Will let me go back to Australia. But I have to increase my good karma to be able to be liberated again and enjoy Fiji. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Yeah.